Genesis chapter number 6, where we'll be one more time tonight. Genesis 6. Last time we went through the first 7 verses. And tonight we've come to probably one of the most important passages here in the book of Genesis, because it gives us basically a summary of the man that everybody in here knows is Noah. Everybody's heard of Noah. We started learning about him when we started going to Sunday school, didn't we? And we're still learning about him today. So I pray that tonight, I've got a special blessing just by studying this portion of Scripture the last week. And I pray the Lord will bless your heart as we study it tonight. But look at verse number 8. And we'll start there. Actually, look at verse 7. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And skip down to verse 18. "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." And then go down to verse 22, right after God says, "Build the ark." And look at what Noah did in verse 22. "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." So that's where we'll stop here tonight. You know, the life of Noah is something that you and I can draw a lot of wisdom from. A lot of things that can actually help us in our life. As we study the life of Noah, we see what righteousness really means. We see what salvation means. And we even see a little bit of what the end times are going to look like. As you know, Jesus said, "As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man." But first of all, look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "But Noah." And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the buts in the Bible. The Bible says, "But God commendeth His love toward us." Then it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith." All the great passages that you and I memorize in the Bible, they all start with a "but," because although we're sinners, but God still loved you and me and showed us mercy. Here in verse number 8, you find another "but." And in this time it says, "But Noah." In other words, what it's doing is it's drawing a contrast. Every time you see "but" in the Bible, it's drawing a contrast from something. Basically like saying, "That chicken stinks, but that steak's real good." Now, that ain't true because I love chicken. But you know, you see what I'm saying now. The steak's better than the chicken. It's contrasted with one another. And that's the first thing that I want to show you tonight, is that Noah is contrasted with the world. Noah is contrasted with the world. You say, well, if we need to figure out what Noah looked like, we need to figure out what the world looked like so we can see how they're different. Verse 5 tells us what the world was like. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was very great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So the world was wicked, the world was evil. Verse 11 tells us another thing. "The earth was corrupt, and the earth was filled with violence." Verse 12, "God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way." And verse 13 says, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence." So those times in verses 11, 12, and 13, it'll tell you 2 to 3 times the earth was corrupt and the earth was filled with violence. So that was the characteristic that God looked on the earth. This is not Noah's opinion. This was Almighty God's opinion of what the earth looked like. It was corrupt and it was filled with violence. You see, I was studying this week, and it said it was filled with violence in verse number 11. And then it said it was filled with violence in verse number 13. And that stuck out to me for some reason. And I was reading it, and I began to look up the definition of these words, filled with violence. And it's interesting that one of the definitions that one man said to be filled with violence was to shed innocent blood. That's what was happening in Noah's day. Remember Cain killed his brother Abel? Why'd he do it? He didn't have a cause to do it. Abel didn't do anything to him. Remember Lamech? We studied him. He killed two people without a cause. They didn't do anything to him. He shed innocent blood. I don't have really time to get into that tonight. But y'all know what's going on every single hour in America. Innocent blood is being shed hour after hour after hour after hour without them even having a chance to say yes or no. That's what was happening in Noah's day. It was filled with violence. But I want you to think about this. They had violence, yet they didn't have any guns to use. They had violence, yet they couldn't blame it on TV. They had violence, yet they couldn't blame it on their video games. You know what the problem? Why the earth was filled with violence in Noah's day? There was one reason. Man's heart was sinful and wicked beyond measure. And you know why America is filled with violence today? It's not because of guns, TV, or video games. It's for the very same reason Noah's day was filled with violence. Man's heart is sinful beyond all measure, and it's wicked. And see, what America likes to do is play the blame game. But if you take away all the guns in America, you know what America will still have? Violence. Amen. Go ahead and do what all the liberals want to do. Take them all away and put all of them in one room together, and one year, you know what that room's going to be filled with? Violence. Without any weapons. That room will still be filled with violence for one reason. Sinful. The heart of man is sinful. That's the whole reason Noah's day was filled with violence. Not because of guns, TV, or video games, but man was a sinner. And the reason America is filled with violence today, not because of guns, TV, or video games, because of the heart of man is a sinner. And that's it. Now let me get past that point before we get too much into that. But Noah's contrasted with the world here, because God says the earth was corrupt and the earth was filled with violence. But for some reason, this man Noah stood out to God. In other words, he wasn't corrupt. And he wasn't violent. Because in verse 8, it says that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Because Noah stood out to God. So not only do I want you to see Noah's contrast with the world, I want you to see Noah's comparison with Enoch. Noah's comparison with Enoch. Look at verse number 9. It says, these are the generations of Noah. In other words, this is genealogy. Noah was a just man. He was perfect or blameless in his generations. But look at this. And Noah walked with God. In the midst of an evil generation that was wicked, corrupt, and violent, God looked down on the earth and began to look around, and all of them were messed up, all of them were wicked, all of them were corrupt, but He began to look around and He found one that wasn't. Isn't that amazing? Millions of people on planet Earth at this time. And God started looking around and He couldn't find but one that walked with Him. Noah walked with God. And the reason Noah stuck out to God is because he walked with God. He desired a walk with God. Now remember the last person the Bible told us walked with God, don't you? Enoch. Chapter 5 and verse 24, it says, and Enoch walked with God. And you remember what happened to him? He got to bypass death, didn't he? What's going to happen to the next person that walks with God? He gets to bypass the flood. So Enoch walked with God, and he got to bypass death. Noah walked with God, and he gets to bypass and be lifted above this flood in the ark. In other words, that tells you and me something. You walk with God, there's benefits to it. Amen. Even in the midst of an evil generation like you and I live in today, it may be hard to walk with God. And yes, in our day it is hard to walk with God. But when we walk with God, there are benefits to walking with God. It may be hard, but there are some amazing benefits to walking close to God. The benefit where Enoch was, he got to miss death. Praise God, if Jesus comes back, we're going to miss it too. But I want you to look at one of the benefits here. And this may not stick out to you, but look at verse 13. Just the first few words. What's it say? And God said unto Noah. And I can just stop right there. You can underline it. Think about that. there was only one person on planet Earth whom God talked to. There was only one person on planet Earth whom God walked up to and said, "Hey, this is my plan for planet Earth. I got 120 years and I'm going to wipe it out with a flood." There didn't one other person on planet Earth know God's plan, know God's will, but God looked at Noah and said, "I'm going to inform you for something." That is a benefit of walking with God. You get to know His plans. Because when nobody else heard from God, God walked up to Noah and said, "Listen to what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy this earth with a flood, but I'm going to let you build an ark. You're going to get out of it. You can be lifted up above it, you and your family." And you know, that's a great benefit to walking with God, is understanding Him. I can only imagine how much Noah understood God. Understanding Him on a deeper level. That's one desire of my heart tonight, is to understand our God in a deeper way, on a deeper level, to know Him more. And you know, the reason churches are getting dead, dull, and dry now is because we have no understanding of God. If you have a deep understanding of God and somebody begins to sing praise to Him, somebody begins to preach the Word to Him, it is absolutely impossible to sit down, not move, smile, raise your hand, or shout. Because when you realize the majesty of our God, when you understand who our God is, that He gives us breath, He gives us the ability to raise our hands in the service, when somebody starts singing to Him, the reason the churches are dead, dull, and dry today is because nobody knows who God is anymore. When we know who God is, you can't help but just sit there and stand in awe of who He is. And you know, that's what I desire for me and you. Is every time we come in here and the songs start singing, you've got to say, "Whoa, what a God." Because when we grow in our understanding of who He is, we won't be able to help it but to worship Him in such a deeper level. You see, that's a direct correlation. The more you know God, the better you'll worship Him. Because when you just sit there and think about who He is, you can't help it. Understanding Him on a deeper level. You see, lukewarm Christians only get to know the basic things about God. Spiritual, deep Christians who search the Word get to know some amazing things about God that nobody else does. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, you don't have to flip to it, but I want to read these verses to you because it stuck out to me this week as I was reading it. Everybody knows this verse. "As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." It says nobody has ever even seen what God has prepared, heard what God has prepared. They don't even know the thoughts of their heart, the things God has prepared. Nobody's seen them. Nobody knows them. But you know what the next verse says? "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." In other words, some of those other people may not know those deep things of God, but if you walk in the Spirit of God reveals those deep things to you. "What man knows the things of man except the spirit of man? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." God, we have received the Spirit of God that we may know the things that are freely given to us by God. See, when we read through our Bible, think about this. Every time you open up the Bible, if you're a Christian, you have the author on the inside of you. The author of this Word lives on the inside of you and me, the Holy Spirit of God. And if we stand in need of it, we ask Him what it means, you know what He's ready to do? Reveal it to us. How we can apply it to our lives. The Bible says that Noah walked with God and God told him some deep things. We'll get to Daniel in a minute of how he compared to Noah. Daniel walked with God and he probably got some of the deepest things in the Old Testament. The closer you walk with God, the deeper you'll know about Him and things that He'll tell you. But you know, tonight, I've been studying this all week, and Noah walked with God. You see how simple that was? Noah walked with God. And I don't know about you, but the deepest longing of my heart is to walk with God. Because the only true satisfaction I've ever found in this life is just that. You can try anything else in this life. Anything. But there's absolutely nothing that will satisfy that eternal part in our heart that only God can fill. You say, well, I want to walk with God. How do I walk with God? Verse 13, God said unto Noah. That might stick out to you. In other words, that means Noah was listening to Him. The only way we can possibly walk with God is if we listen to Him. You can't walk with God unless you're listening to Him. And how do we listen to Him? We can't listen to Him if we have a closed Bible all week. We listen to Him when we start our day, when we end our day, right here in His Word. This is how we listen to Him. This is how we get the instructions for our day, for our life. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we want to know the way to go, if we want to know more about God, what He wants us to do, He's got it right here for us, doesn't He? Right there in His Word. We've got to listen to Him. And I still have yet to find a greater joy than when I'm going through something in my life. And I walk in here. And I don't even know where to go. And I open up this Bible and somehow it just flips to the Psalms. And David starts to speak about how many troubles are compassed around him. Then he says, but Thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. He said, I laid me down to sleep. I slept and I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. In other words, those worries, those fears that got me down, I laid down and God said, don't worry about them. I got them. And he got to sleep all the way through the night and he woke up and he slept like a baby. Because God said, I got you. The Word of God is alive. And it's absolutely amazing when you're going through something in your life and you open it up and God says, that was for you. Anybody else ever had that happen? Speaks directly into your situation. That's what the Word of God can do. It's just as relevant today as it was when David wrote it or when Moses wrote the book of Genesis. You see, we walk with God by listening to Him. But when God looked at Noah in verses 14 through 17 and says, I want you to build an ark just like this. Verse 22 says, Noah did just that. Thus did Noah. In other words, he did exactly what God told him to do. The greatest way that we walk with God is not by just listening to Him, but by doing what He says. And you see, there are some people in here that if you told me to run through a brick wall, I probably wouldn't do it. But you know, if God looked at us and said, I want you to run through a brick wall, we ought to trust Him enough to do it. Run into it thinking, I sure hope He makes a way before I get there. But think about this. If I don't trust somebody, I'm not going to do what they say. That's for every single one of us. If you don't trust somebody and they tell you something, you probably ain't going to do it. But if you trust somebody, it don't matter what they say, you're going to do it. And you see, some of the problem for the reason sometimes we don't obey God, we really don't trust Him. When He tells us to give what we don't have, we say no. When He tells us to do something that we don't understand, we say no. But if we really trusted Him, we'd do whatever He said to do. Because the more you trust somebody, the more you'll obey somebody. So help us to walk with God by listening to Him, by trusting Him, and by obeying Him. And that's exactly what Noah did here in chapter number 6. And walking with God, you'll find the greatest joy you'll ever find. Walking with God, you'll find the very purpose why God put you on this earth. That's the whole purpose why God put us here. That is the primary reason God put us on planet Earth. Not just to praise Him and worship Him. Do you know if nobody on planet Earth right now was praising and worshiping God, He's got something to do it. He's got the rocks. And you know what else He's got in heaven? That's why He made the angels. That's all they do. The Bible says there's four of them gathered around His throne, and it says day and night they cease not to worship Him, crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Day and night they never stop. That's a lot of worship. But you see, if nobody else ever worshiped Him again, He'd have something to do it, because that's why He created the angels. But He made us primarily to walk with Him. To walk with Him. To talk to Him, to listen to Him, to obey Him. and to walk in an intimate relationship with Him. And we find here in chapter number 6 that Noah was doing just that. Noah walked with God. And I want you to see three things about him walking with God tonight. Noah walked with God when nobody else did. Noah walked with God when nobody else did. We've already said the world was violent, the world was wicked, and the easiest thing for Noah to do was literally millions of people said no to God, and he's looking around saying, well, the easiest thing for me to do would be to just join in with everybody, compromise my beliefs because everybody else is doing it. But he didn't, did he? Instead of compromising, he showed courage. Because that's what it takes to walk with God in our day and in Noah's day. Not compromise, but courage. And Noah walked with God. And I told you earlier, it's interesting. Noah's mentioned, I think it's 3 other times in the Old Testament besides the book of Genesis. And I believe it's 5 or 6 times in the New Testament. So Noah is somebody that Jesus talked about, Peter talked about, and even in the Old Testament. One that I found that I forgot was there is in the book of Ezekiel. And I know that's hard to read, so let me read it to you. Ezekiel makes a comparison of Noah with Daniel and then Job. So think about it. This is what Ezekiel says. Well, God's saying this to Ezekiel. He says, "Son of man, when the land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then I will stretch out my hand upon it, will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. And though these 3 men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God." Because in Ezekiel's time, the whole nation of Israel was wicked too. And God says, if Noah was in it, he'd get delivered. If Daniel was in it, he'd get delivered. If Job was in it, he'd get delivered. But those are the only ones. And it's interesting that Ezekiel, or God, makes this comparison of Noah, Daniel, and Job. Because think about it. Daniel was in Babylon, wasn't he? Well, Babylon was a place that didn't want anything to do with Jehovah. They were worshiping Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that big statue that he put up? Them 3 boys said no. And even Daniel, he was somebody living in the midst of wickedness and ungodliness, and yet he said, "I'm still going to serve God where I am," didn't he? That was Daniel. Well, Job suffered more than probably any man's ever suffered, besides Christ. And even when his wife walked up to him and said, "Are you kidding me? You're still going to worship that God?" Remember what she said? "Curse God and die." And Job said, "No, that's not my place. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away." So even in the midst of all this family trouble, Job said, "I'm going to still worship God." And then Noah, the whole world was wicked, yet Noah said, "I'm still going to walk with God." And he obeyed God anyway. Because you see this? The darker the night is, the brighter the light is. The darker the night, the brighter the light. And you know what God is still looking for today? A Noah. A Daniel. He's still looking for those people. He's still looking for those people who don't act good in church. There's plenty of people like that. He's looking for those people that when everybody's at work cussing, you don't. That when everybody pulls out the beer and starts drinking, you leave. That when everybody else says, "I'm going here to do this," ungodliness, you say, "Well, I'm not." When everybody else says, "I'm going to do this, I don't care what God thinks," you say, "Well, I love God and I'm not going to." That's what God's looking for. Not people to act right in church, people to act right out in the world when everybody else is acting wrong. Noah walked with God when nobody else did. Noah walked with God aware of His presence everywhere he went. Let me explain that to you. I was going down 321 the other day, leaving here, going home. We live off exit 12. Well, that Ford Ranger sometimes can get up and go when I'm ready to get home and eat some dinner. Well, I look down, I'm going about 80 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone. I think, whatever, I'll make it. Well, I get towards exit 12, and what I see sitting on the side of the road is some blue lights. And you know what the first thing I did was? I slowed down, didn't I? And I got all the way down to 65 until I got past them. And I stayed there because I didn't want to see another one. You see what happened? That cop's presence affected how fast I drove. When I saw him, I said, "I better slow down." Because his presence affected the way I was driving. And you see, Noah, I believe he lived in a constant state of being constantly aware of the presence of God all around him. Because if you and I were constantly aware of the fact that no matter where we go, God's beside us. No matter where we go, God lives within us. No matter where we go, God's watching. God knows what we're thinking. God knows what we're looking at. God knows where we're walking. God knows where we're putting our hands. God knows all of these things. It might change the way we do those things, knowing that God's watching. And I believe that's the way that Noah lived his life, in a constant awareness of the fact that God was around him. And that's the way that God wants you and I to live too, in a constant awareness of His presence, because it'll affect the way we live. The same way that cop affects the way I drive is the same way. If we realize the presence of God is around us, it'll affect the way we live. But this is my favorite one. Noah walked with God aware of His presence. But thirdly, Noah walked with God by faith. Noah walked with God by faith. Now, I want you to think about this. I told you this last week. Noah didn't have the Mosaic law to follow. He didn't have Exodus. He didn't have the Ten Commandments. Noah didn't even have the book of Genesis. Noah didn't have a Bible. Noah didn't have a church to attend on Sunday because nobody else was going. Noah didn't have the Ten Commandments. He didn't have a law. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a church to go to. Yet the Bible says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord and he walked with God. How in the world do you walk with God without a Bible, without a church, without a law to follow? One way. By faith. And you see what this passage does in Genesis chapter number 6. I told you last week. It absolutely wipes out the Pharisees. It absolutely wipes out the legalistic people. The Pharisees and the legalistic people are those that say, you have to do this to be right with God. You have to do this to get to heaven. You have to follow the Ten Commandments. You cannot break one of them or you won't get to heaven. You've got to follow every single one of them. And yet Noah had none of that. And he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One way. By faith. The same way every single person on planet Earth has ever found grace in the eyes of the Lord before. By faith. Even in the Old Testament, if they were going to get saved and go to heaven, they had to get there one way, by faith in God. Abraham got there by faith. He didn't get there by going to slay his son. Moses got there by faith, not by sticking his stick in the Red Sea and making it part. David got there by faith, not by throwing the rock. They all got there one way, by faith. Faith has always been by grace through faith. Always. And you might hear some people say, I don't read the Old Testament because there's no grace there. There's grace all the way through the Old Testament. Grace is abounding in the Old Testament. Just because Christ didn't come into the New Testament, there's still grace. But grace came in bodily form in Jesus Christ when He died on the cross for us. And you know, there have been, before I was called to preach, there were baseball players that inspired me that I wanted to be like because I played baseball. When I got called to preach, I started reading my Bible, and you know what started to inspire me? People in the Bible. And there are four men in the Old Testament in the past few years that have completely inspired my life, and I've studied it. And it's made a difference. Four men in the Old Testament: Abraham, David, Daniel, and Noah. Those are the four men that I've studied extensively in the Old Testament, and it's inspired my life for one reason. They all had faith beyond what any of us probably have. They all had amazing faith. And I want you to think about that. When you look at these four men, that's the one characteristic that defines them. Abraham had faith, didn't he? To go up to Mount Moriah. Say, I'm going to kill my son because God told me to. David had faith. All the things that he did, you can't even mention all of them. Daniel had faith when they said, you can't pray or you're going to be thrown in the lion's den. He said, fine, throw me in there. I'm not going to stop praying. And Noah had faith because God said, build an ark. And what did he do? He built an ark. And that takes amazing faith, and I'll show you why, and I'll be done. See, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. And that's in Hebrews chapter 11. And verse number 7. Now, I'll come back to that. But I want you to see this. Noah's faith was a faith in the unseen. It was a faith in the unseen. Verse 13, God told Noah that He was going to destroy the earth and everybody in it, everything in it. But how was He going to do it? He didn't tell him until verse 17. He said, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth. He said, I'm going to destroy the earth. But in verse 17, He said, I'm going to do it by a flood. Well, guess what? It's been 1,600 years into the creation. That's how long it's been. 1,600 years. And you know what them boys have never seen? One drop of rain. And yet, God walks up to Noah and says, hey, I'm going to destroy the earth and I'm going to do it with a flood of waters. And that's why that verse says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. And yet what did he do? He moved with fear, moved with faith, and prepared an ark to save his house. It had never rained in 120 years. And yet Noah believed God. Noah believed God. And I can imagine the huge faith that it took to do that. He'd never saw rain before, and God says, it's going to rain and I'm going to flood the earth, so build an ark. Can you imagine the faith it took to do that? Can you imagine the people that started laughing at Noah? When Noah started saying, God's going to destroy the earth with the flood, and that's why I'm building this ark. Can you imagine the people that laughed at him? They said, Noah, it's never rained before. It's not going to rain. You are insane. I've never seen it. And you know what's happening today? The world's laughing at Christians. Just turn on the TV. They say it all the time. They mock Christians because we believe in a God that we've never seen. See, they want to believe in a God that you can see, that you can touch, that you can handle, that you can figure out in your mind. But if you and I could figure out the God of the Bible, He wouldn't be the God of the Bible. Amen. If we could figure Him out, He wouldn't be God. But the world's laughing at Christians because we believe in a God that we've never seen. And you know the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. Now preaching is what thus saith the Lord. I don't say my opinion, I say the Lord's opinion. What thus saith the Lord. That's what preaching is. So what did Noah preach? What thus saith the Lord. He preached exactly what God told him, I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. He is going around preaching exactly what God told him to do. Get on the ark and you will be saved. And none of them believed him. Except his wife, three sons, and their wives. And they got on with him. And why do you think they didn't believe Noah? Because they had never seen it before. I believe that's the main reason they did not believe Noah when he preached, because since the creation started, they said it's never rained before, nothing has ever changed in our environment, it hadn't rained yet, and it's not going to. So they laughed at Noah, rejected his preaching, until the day they looked up and saw the big cloud, and the clouds parted, and the windows of heaven were opened, and bam! And they could probably even look down. And I believe the earth was cracking beneath them, and that's how you get so much water. There's water beneath. We'll talk about that when we get there. But can you imagine the fear that came up in their eyes? They said, That Noah was right. We'd never seen it before. And yet, here it comes. And judgment came and wiped them all out. And I told you before, the world is doing the same thing today. They're laughing at every preacher that stands up in the pulpit and says, thus saith the Lord, surely I come quickly. That's what Jesus said. Surely I come quickly. And the reason they laugh at us and don't believe it is because it's been 2,000 years. They say, my grandpa didn't see it. My great-grandpa didn't see it. My great-great-great-grandpa did not see Jesus coming back. I highly doubt He is coming back now in my life. But that's what they were saying in Noah's day. And the day came in the twinkling of an eye and the rain started. And the day is coming in the twinkling of an eye. It could be tonight where Jesus comes back and judgment is going to fall on planet Earth. That's exactly what they were doing in Noah's day. But Noah had the faith to say, no, I can't see it, but God told me, and I trust Him. And I'm going to do exactly what He told me to do. Because Noah had faith in the unseen. And if you think about it, you and I have faith in the unseen too. Jesus said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed. But you know, if you just walk outside and look up, you can see a little bit of God right there in the fact that He made this creation. And that had to come from somewhere. We won't get into that. Noah's faith in the unseen, lastly, and I'll be done. Although his faith was in the unseen, Noah's faith was clearly seen. Noah's faith was clearly seen. I want you to think about that. Faith. It is an invisible quality. I can't see faith the way I can reach out and see this Bible. I can't see faith the way I can look at Carol. I see him. I can't see faith. It's invisible. But how do you see faith? Somebody tell me. Anybody? By works, don't you? You know what James said? James said this. A man may say, you have faith and I have works. He says, all right. Show me thy faith without thy works. So you have faith and you don't have any works to go with it. Show me how you have faith. You know what will happen? He'll just stand there. Because there ain't no other way to show it. And James says, I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, once you have faith in God, once you have a good root, it ought to bring forth good fruit. But a bad root brings forth bad fruit every single time, doesn't it? But a good root brings forth good fruit. In other words, if you've got saving faith, you're going to have good works too. If you've got saving faith, you're going to have good works too. And look at what Noah. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He had faith, and we could clearly see what kind of faith Noah had. Because when God said, build an ark, it may take you 100 years, 120 years, Noah built the ark. And that's how we see Noah had faith, because he worked, he obeyed, and did exactly what God told him to do. Now, let me ask you something. If God were to look down, He saw them four boys carrying that leper or that man that couldn't walk on the bed. Remember? And they dropped him down in the house to Jesus. Remember that? And Jesus looked at him and said, I see your faith. And He said, your sins are forgiven. I see your faith. When God looks at us, can He see our faith? I hope when God looks at us that He can see our faith. And the way He sees it is by you and I doing what He tells us to do. He says, give, we give. He says, take, we take. He says, build an ark. Well, we better start building an ark, I guess. See, Noah's faith was in the unseen. He couldn't see God. He couldn't see the rain. But yet when you look at Noah, he had faith that every single one of us could see. And when you study his life, you look at it and say, he was a man of great faith. And I pray when people look at our lives and study our lives, they'll look at us and say, he was a man, she was a woman of great faith. Because we trusted God and we did exactly what he told us to do. Now next week we're going to look at the ark. And we talked about it a few months ago. The ark is a picture of something. I won't tell you what this is a picture of. Just study it for yourself and we'll come back next Wednesday. All right? Yes, sir.